Okay, let's get to work over here. Here we go. Amazing. Next week will be a share. It'll be right before Shavas Batamas. So next week's share will be same time, and it will be on halachas of fasting and the 3 weeks.
Can I get a heter?
You get a heter to put it on mute. Anyway, so that'll be the next week. Sorry, that'll be next week's share. All right, so let's start. I'll discuss some shayas that were sent in this week. Some of them were sent in from the Israeli side, and some shayas were sent in from the American side. One shaya that was sent in is when you daven for a sick person. When you daven for a sick person, where should you daven for that person? Shlonetze. So you do it in Rifa'enu, you do it in Shema Kolenu, or in El Karnitzor. So in Rifa'enu, there's a certain spot you could insert it. Every sitter has. Shema Kolenu would be before Kiyata Shomea, and in El Kainetzor, you could insert it anywhere you want, primarily before the last Yidur Atzon. The truth is, you could insert the Tefillah for Achoyla anywhere you want. Just the Chab that I just saw recently is, you should constantly switch the location. If you're dying for a certain person consistently, you shouldn't always have the same spot where you insert that name. Because then it looks like you're adding to the Shemon Esrei. So what you want to do is, whatever person you're dying for, the most severe cases, let's say, put in Rifa'inu. Sometimes you do in Shema Kolenu. Sometimes in Lokai Netzor. But the idea is that you're always dying that person and switch it up, shake it up a little bit. Okay, so that was one Shaila sent in. A second Shaila sent in, I will not say anyone's names here, was, let's say you have friends or family that are Mechali Shabbos. They don't keep Shabbos. And they're cooking with your pots or in your house, etc. So can you eat the food? Can you use the kalim? Right? So there is a halacha called bishul akum, that when a goy cooks, you cannot eat that food. Even if it's 100% kosher, you know it's kosher. You saw it from beginning to end. You know it's kosher. Still, you cannot eat that food. Those kalim, it's a machlekes if you have to kasher those kalim, even though it's kosher. So by bishul akum, it is a machlekes if you have to kasher the kalim. It looks like you should if you could. What about when a mechal Shabbos cooks for you? So the halacha is, it's not brought down Shulchan Aruch anywhere. I discussed it with the Paisik tonight. This does not seem to be any iser on the food or on the kalim. So therefore, if you know for sure that the ingredients are kosher, so then you could eat the food and you could also do not have to kasher the pots. Okay, that was one shayla. Third shayla, what about puzzles on Shabbos? Are you allowed to do puzzles on Shabbos? So there are two different types of puzzles. There's a puzzle which is in a frame. Puzzles that are done in a frame. Those are more made to last. Those are big problems. Those puzzles should be avoided. Then there are puzzles that are just regular. You do, you undo, you do, you undo. It's not made to keep. You may keep it for a week or something to like look at and be proud of yourself at what you did, but it's not made for lasting purposes. And those are really ikker than you're allowed to do. It's not recommended if you're above bar mitzvah, which I think everyone here is, to do them, because it does border on the avera of kosev, of creating pictures and creating writings. But it's definitely, you have who to rely on if you need to do it. Now, Lego is a good question, Minamin. Lego is a definite hot topic. If the Lego is made to make and break and make and break, like most Legos are, so then you definitely could rely on it for your younger brothers and nieces and nephews. For sure, under bar mitzvah, you don't have to be machmir on Lego or puzzles. Above bar mitzvah, there is reason, thank you, Moshe, there are reasons to not do puzzles or Lego on Shabbos. Okay, but me'ikar din, therefore, if you know someone, you tell someone you shouldn't do a puzzle, and he does it anyway, they're okay. They're not mechal Shabbos, and anyway, you can eat their food, as we discussed earlier. A fourth shayla that was sent in is, what about dry lips on Shabbos or dry hands? What can you do to help your dry lips or dry hands? So you are not allowed to use a moisturizing cream. That would be the Isser, perhaps the Raisa of Memache, smearing creams. So that you cannot do. Two eighths that you can do, I don't know if medically or if they actually will work, but try it out, let me know. One of them is olive oil, because olive oil is not a cream, and therefore it's something which you are allowed to put in your lips or put in your hands. So good luck if you want to do that. The other thing perhaps is liquefy the cream, right? You're not allowed to use a bar of soap on Shabbos, but you can use liquid soap on Shabbos as long as it's liquefied. What's liquefied means it pours easily. So perhaps—
Can I ask a question on that?
But perhaps you can go ahead and liquefy your moisturizing hand cream and then apply it in a liquid form to the spots that are needed. And the last shayla I'll discuss now is right. Let's say you are, okay, trivia, great question. We'll do that next week. Let's say you are a person who davens Nusach Ashkenaz or Nusach Sfard, or you daven with certain variations that the tzibur that you're davening in does not daven like that. Let's say you say Morid Hatal and your tzibur doesn't. Or you say certain additions to this one essay that's different than Hagim. So let's say you're the chazan for that minion, or you're davening that minion. So the rule is, whatever you're saying to yourself, you should keep your own minhagim. If you're Ashkenaz, fine. So whatever inserts you do to your own private shemona esrei, you can still do and should still do. Whenever you're davening for the amid, you're the chazan, so then you need to put in those additions and daven exactly like the tzibur daven. Okay, so those are five related things. Moshe Fryer, as far as Kedusha is concerned, that's something which is done out loud, and therefore you definitely should do whatever the tzibur is doing. In that case, whether you're the chazan or whether you're just one of the guys in the minion, anything that's done out loud should be done just like the tzibur, so Kedusha as well. Okay, let's get back to Hilchos Bishul. This is round three, part three of Bishul. So I hope to finish off tonight. What we've done is in the past two shiurim was understand that there are five different related halakhas in Bishul. What we discussed last week, we spent most time last week, was Bishul itself, which is getting to know your foods, which foods are susceptible to the Isser of cooking. And we did the Kalim, the variations of when the Isser is applicable, when which Kalim will actually cook the food. I want to focus on the other four parts tonight and then some application of them. Those four other parts being Shehiya, Chazara, Nesina Lechatchila, and Hatmana. So as far as Shehiya is concerned, Shehiya means having the food going into Shabbos. The food going into Shabbos, you want it warm, you want it on a heat source, how should you do it? So here, the Lechatchila is to have food fully cooked and to have the food on a blech, on a heat source, which has been garuf akatum, which means it has been covered. That's a lechatchila, fully cooked, and garuf akatum, the heat source being fully covered, including the knobs. That's lechatchila. However, we can't always accomplish that. So I'm going to tell you the two extremes that are mutter, which is completely raw food is fine as long as it is garuf akatum. As long as you're putting on fire, a flame, which has been covered, that's one extreme. The other extreme is not covered. The flame is open, but it's more than one-third cooked. So as long as you have one of those two things, one-third cooked, open fire, or raw with a covered fire, that is okay to leave that food on coming into Shabbos. If you leave it not cooked, or less than third cooked, on an open flame, that food is aser. You cannot eat that food on Shabbos. Okay, that is as far as Shehiya. We'll discuss soon exactly what it means to garuf akatum. But those are the rules of Shehiya. Chazara is referring to food that was on the fire coming to Shabbos. So now it is on the fire, and you want to take it off, and you want to eat from it, or you want to switch fires, you want to go to a neighbor's house, whatever it is. That's called chazara. Chazara means it was on, you want to take it off, and put it back. In order to do that, you need to have five conditions. They all five have to be met lechatchila. Two of them are somewhat negotiable. Okay, so the five that you need to have are, the food must be fully cooked. If you want to take it off and put it back on, it must be fully cooked, and it must still be hot. If it's not fully cooked or not hot, it cannot be put back on in the same way. What we mean chazara means putting it exactly back the way it was. If you're not going to meet these conditions, then it's going to be a new category called nesina lechatchila, as if it's for the first time. But in order to continue the same heating method, which would be perhaps straight on a fire with a blech, so it has to be fully cooked. It has to be still hot, and the heat source must be covered. Even if it wasn't covered until now, it must be covered now. So you go put a block on now, as long as you won't extinguish the flame by doing so. So you have to go ahead and make sure it's fully cooked, still hot, and make sure there's a block. The other two are, you have to have das when you take it off to put it back on, and you have to have to keep it in your hand the whole time. Keeping your hand means you could position it on the ledge, on the counter, in a way that'll fall is the best, or at least have your hand on it the whole time. Now, those last two are the ones that are somewhat negotiable. If you forgot, you made a mistake, etc., and you really, really need the food, so then those two you could be leaning with. But again, lechachila not. So lechachila, you want to have all five. Now, if you don't have all five, or at least the first three, so now you cannot do chazar. Now we get into category number three, which is nesina lechachila. Nesina lechachila means food that was not on the fire, or you messed up, you took it off the fire, and you can't put it back on in the regular way. Then we get into the world of nesina lechachila. Nesina lechachila means putting on for the first time. Now this could be from your refrigerator, this could be anything. Putting on for the fire the first time. So here's the rule. If it is not cooked in its entirety, or like we spoke out last week, a liquid that became cold, those are things which you're not allowed to cook. No matter what, they cannot be put near any heat source that is yatzah letzbo. Okay? That is that category. Now let's say you have foods which are allowed to be cooked, like solids that are fully cooked, or you have liquids that are still warm. Somehow they're still warm. They weren't on the fire, but now they're still warm. They are still warm. So these are things which you're, as far as Hilchas Bishul, you're allowed to continue cooking or reheating. But how can you do it? Here you're not allowed to put directly onto the blech. You're not allowed to put directly on anything. What you need to do over here is what's called a Hefsik Kedera, which is you need to have something else between you and the fire, between the food and the fire. Because we don't want it to look like Bishul. Here the issue is Mechse Kimavash. So we don't want it to look like Bishul. So here's what happens over here. The easiest and best is, let's say you have a chalim pot. So go ahead and put your kugel, your chicken, your schnitzel, your challah, directly on top of the chalim pot. The chalim pot is very hot. Putting directly on that will also give it heat and make it very hot. If you don't have a chalim pot or you need more room, then what you can do is take a pot or an aluminum tray and invert it, turn it upside down. There should be some level of thickness that's recognizable. And then you can go ahead and put the food onto that. So again, as long as it's like the most practical example would be challahs, kugels, schnitzels, these things. It is a shiloh. What happens if you have congealed gravy? Let's say you have a piece of chicken and it's solid, but there's gravy. Right now it's congealed. If you actually warm it up, it will no longer be congealed. It'll turn into a liquid. That you can be leaning with as well because it was fully cooked. You're not going to be cooking. It's a liquid. Right now it's a solid. So since the time that you're putting it on, it's a solid, you can be leaning and treat it like a solid and say, ain bishul achar bishul. Fine. That's as far as the nesina lechachila. So the fifth thing, the last thing in this topic is hatmana. Literally means insulation. Now, there are two types of insulation. One form of insulation is what's called, with davar she'eino mosif hevel, something which does not add heat. Another form of insulation is davar hamosif hevel, something that adds heat. So here's the way that goes. We'll discuss what those things are. But if it's mosif hevel, you're not allowed to do hatmana with that at all, even Erev Shabbos coming into Shabbos. It cannot be in the situation of davar hamosif hevel. If it is davar she'eino mosif hevel, it doesn't add heat. So that's something which you're allowed to do before Shabbos and keep it into Shabbos, but you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Now, the Gemaras and the Mishnayos go through examples of what materials, like sand, like dirt, what materials are considered most edible or not. What's practical to us, the most common hatamana that we do today is two forms. One of them is with clothing, with towels, materials. That's davar she'ein mosef hevel. That's fine. If you were to wrap up your soup pot, Erev Shabbos, in towels, that's fine. Or thing like that. So that's ein mosef hevel, no problem. Where it becomes mosef hevel is if it's on the blech, if it's on the fire. Then, assuming you're doing it in a safe way, when you wrap it up in clothing, that will be considered mosef hevel, since there is a heat source and it will be retaining the heat. And therefore, that's something you cannot do even before Shabbos, coming into Shabbos. So that's the two categories, mosef hevel, not mosef hevel. In order to make a mutter, you need to do one of two things. One is keep a significant part of it uncovered. Hatman is only if it is 100% fully covered. If it is uncovered partially, whether it's the top, part of the side, then that is okay. That's not hatmana. Also, would be if it's very, very loosely fit. It's not completely touching the sides. You do it in a way that is like draped over. So then it's not really covering the side. That also would be okay. Another example is kishka or kugel in a chalin. Now, you would think, how is hatmana shayach there? Because there you wrapped it in foil and you stick it in the chalin. You're now doing hatmana with the chalin. That the chalent is doing is insulating the kugel or the kishka. That's also mutter, because there your intention is not for the hatman of the insulating. There your intention is to give flavor. So another requirement for the isser is you're doing it for insulating, retaining heat. That is not a problem over there, because you're doing that for the flavor.
Before Shabbos, on Shabbos.
Very good. You cannot add any food to the pot on Shabbos, not because of hatmana, right? I was asking, can I add kishka chalan to my chalan pot on Shabbos? So as far as hatmana, we're explaining that that's not hatmana, since I'm not doing it for insulating purposes, I'm doing it for the flavor purposes. But you're going to have another problem of, that's nesina lechatchila, meaning let's go for Shabbos morning, I have my kishka, my chalan, my kugel, sorry, and I want to add it to the chalan. I can't add it to the chalan, because that would be putting food that was not on the fire and not hot, directly in the chalan pot. Even if I had to take the chalan pot off, put it in the chalan pot, then put it back on. So for the chalan, that was chazara. But for the kishka and the chalan and then the kugel, that was nesina lechatchila. And this question that I was asking is exactly where I want to go right now, actually in 2 minutes, which is where all these halachas come together. That shaila that I would just ask is a shaila which includes hatamana, Nesin lechachila, chazara, perhaps bishul. There you can have many shilas all in one. But one last thing I want to wrap up in is what's considered a blech? What's considered garf or katum? What's considered now having a closed fire? So you have three scenarios I want to talk about. A hot plate, a crock pot, and an oven. So an oven is a machlokes if it's considered the garf or katum. If it's considered the flame is covered. Because over there, if you see the coils and the coils are exposed, and that's the heat source, that's not covered. But let's say you have some ovens where you don't see the coils. So it is a machlokes if that's considered covered or not covered. You can be lenient when it comes to shahia, but you cannot be lenient when it comes to chazara. And therefore, if you want to leave food in the oven coming to Shabbos, as long as it's more than a third cooked, you can be lenient leaving it in an oven. But otherwise, you cannot use the oven for chazara, putting it back in. As far as a hot plate, there are two types of hot plates. There's a hot plate which has a setting, different types of heat settings, and there's a hot plate which is one setting. If it's a one setting hot plate, it's a lot easier. You can be leaning on that for shahia. Some hold you can be leaning on that for chazara as well. Still better to put some tin foil on, at least for the word of chazara. Not for shahia, but for chazara, if you want to put stuff back on there, it'd be good to have foil on that hot plate. If it is a dual setting hot plate, so then you need to have a blech, which means putting the foil on top of it and covering over the knobs. So if you want to use a hot plate that has two settings, so then you want to cover the knobs and cover the thing with foil. As far as a crock pot, big controversy, What do you do with the crock pot? Where the crock pot fit in? Is there hatmana issues or not? The ideal would be to cover the knobs and line it with foil, the inside with foil, that some foil sticking out. That would cover almost all the shitas. According to some, you don't have to do any of that. But again, as far as the ideal world, it would be to cover the knobs and put foil inside. So those are as far as our heating tools. As far as we discussed, one-third cooked is based on the, it's again, a machlokes is exactly how to measure that, but the idea would be if something normally takes an hour to cook, so after 20 minutes, you can call it one-third cooked. Loosely, that would be a way to go. As far as chum bags in the crock pot, so you need to have, if you want to take the chum bag out, great, but if you want to put it back in, you're putting it back in directly onto the fire, that would be a problem. And as far as that acting as your tinfoil, the chalon bag is not between you and the fire. So it wouldn't help. You would still need to put foil around the crock pot. Okay, I'll just bring up two or three scenarios. As far as clarification, leaving food in an oven. Here's the way it goes. An oven should be treated as an open fire, bottom line is. And therefore, if it is fully cooked, you shouldn't be leaving it on it at all. If it's a third or more cooked, so then you have who to rely on that perhaps that's considered like a covered fire. As long as the coils are not there, it's not hatmana issue because it's not enclosed, it's not touching. Nothing there is touching the thing. Okay, so that, again, so lichadchila with an oven, have it cooked, fully cooked, and you can leave it in. B'di'avad, if it's a third cooked more, you can be lenient. But that would be by an oven. Okay, there's a few cases, and let's say you need to add water to the chalon pot. You look at the chalon pot, you see that it's drying out. You need to add water. You cannot just go ahead and add water into the pot. If it's cold water, that'd be cooking the water. And even if it's hot water, that would be nesina lechachila of that hot water in. What you need to do is take water from an urn. An urn is considered fire on the fire. So you want to take it from the urn and put it in. However, you have to do that with das, when you're taking the cup from the urn, with das to put it in, because that you're doing chazara on the water from the urn. But also you shouldn't pour directly in the chambat on the fire, because that may be a problem of hagasa, of adding and mixing on the fire. So the idea would be, you need two people for this, take the chambat off, hold it, get the water from the urn, and pour it in. That would be the ideal. And that's, again, a combination of many of the lessons we're learning, a combination of putting them all together. As far as making coffee on Shabbos, the ideal is to do it in a kli shlishi, but you can, if you need to, do it in a kli sheni, which would mean pour the hot water into the second cup, into the kli sheni, and then, while it's in kli sheni, then you could add your coffee and your sugar. That's definitely okay, but you definitely, if easier to do it in a kli shlishi, for sure, make everybody happy. Those are some halachas that are relevant. I'll take more questions later on that. Let me just say something on the parsha. This week's parsha for the Americans, which everyone is here, is a double parsha. So I'll do a few short, quick parts on both parshas, parshas Chukas and parshas Balak. So in parshas Chukas, right, Chukah, what's a chok? A chok is halachas, mitzvahs that we don't necessarily understand. So why did Hashem give us chukim? Why do we have them? So parshas Pshat is to shed light on everything else. That the reason why we do our mitzvahs, and not because it's gishmak, and not because we understand it, the reason why we do the mitzvahs is because Hashem told us. So the same way we do that by paraduma and things that we do we don't understand, all the mitzvahs that we're doing, even though we do or we think we understand them, the reason why we're doing them is because of Hashem. Someone else wanted to add, the same way that there are mitzvahs that we don't understand, sometimes things that happen in life, we also don't understand. The same way chukim of the Torah, we don't understand chukim which happened in our life, chukei chayim. Sometimes things happen to us, we don't understand. It's okay, we don't have to understand it. The same way you don't understand paraduma and shatness, so you don't understand why you're rich, why you're poor, why you're sick, why this, why that. That's all part of it, and that's not a problem. The same way we do paraduma, even though we don't understand it. So we live our lives and roll with the punches, even though we don't necessarily understand it. One other thing, parshas Chukas, the Gemara in Brachas on Samak Gilman Beis says that Torah only has a kiyum with someone who's memis atzmoyala, someone who will kill himself for learning Torah. And the Gemara dives in that from this week's parsha. Zeis Teres Adam Kiyamas Ba'ayel. So in my darshans, what's it mean? Zeis Teres Adam Kiyamas Ba'ayel. So Torah, in order for Torah to be alive and well and have a kiyum by you, you have to kill yourself on it. Which the Ram brings this down, it means to minimize your pleasures in this world. Now I'll tell you a very interesting story. The Chavetz Chaim, whether it's a true or he made it up or whatever, said of a story where someone called Reuven. Hi, can I speak to Reuven? Reuven's wife answered and said, oh, I'm sorry, Reuven's dead right now. Please call back in 3 hours. I said, what? He's dead? Call back. What? Huh? Can I talk to Reuven? No, I'm sorry, he's dead right now. Please call back in 3 hours. He said, what are you talking about, lady? So she said, oh, let me explain. When my husband's learning, we view it as if he's dead. The same way if you'll be buried on Har Menuchos, there's no phone calls, there's no interruptions. I'm not here right now. I'm dead. I'm sorry. I can't come to the phone right now. Right? No one's going to have a time. Well, how come I didn't answer my call? Because you're dead. So too, when you have your time for learning, that's when you have to be dead to the world. And that's what Reuven's wife is saying. I'm sorry. He's dead right now. I can't even talk to him. But in 3 hours, you call back. Anyway, on Parshas Balak, I'd say two things. One of them is very cute from the after of the Avas Yisrael. So someone went over to him and said, I heard that you said that there's a remes to the hafta l'recha kamoicha in every parsha. The concept to love your fellows as yourself is in every parsha. So he asked him, where in Parshas Balak do you find the hafta l'recha kamoicha? So he looked at him like, what? What's the shaila? The name Balak. Because Beis Lamed Kuf. V'yahafta l'reacha kamaicha. And to love your friend like yourself. So the guy said to him, huh? Rabbi, I don't think you know how to spell. V'yahafta doesn't start with the beis, and kamaicha doesn't start with the kuf. So the rabbi said, that's the problem. If you're going to look at everyone so closely, then you're not going to love anybody. You have to be willing to accept and look at people from a distance. If you really want to love them, you can't look at them with a magnifying glass. So if you're going to pick on me that v'hata recha kamaicha doesn't spell it properly, you're going to be losing that ability to love your friends like yourself. And one last shot on the parsha, we have ma tovu alecha Yaakov. Bilam looked at Klai Yisrael, and Bilam saw in Klai Yisrael how their tents were positioned in a way that there was sneas. So someone asked, interesting, why do we start our day with that, right? We go into shul, one of the first things we say in shul is ma tovu alecha Yaakov. Why are we quoting Bilam? Bilam the Rasha, the one who tried to curse Klai Yisrael on cause of errors, we're quoting it. So obviously we're quoting something which was of a positive look on Klai Yisrael. Perhaps it's reminding us, Ayalacha is referring to the shuls. But I heard a nice shot, which is, what do we see from Bilam? Bilam was looking at Klai Yisrael, and Bilam noticed what Klai Yisrael was doing. And because of that, he praised them. We want to remind ourselves, when you start our day, when we have to know how we look to the Goyim as well. It's not enough just to do the right thing. We have to look good. Someone who's here actually sent in a shayla this week, sometimes something could be mutter, but still don't do it. It depends on how the optics are also. And you have to realize, every matav or elach Yaakov realized Bilam HaRasha was looking at Klai Yisrael. And he noticed how great we were in Tznius. And how many times are Goyim looking at us and are we not so great, and we are great. Anyway, that was an interesting thing to think about when you say Ma Tovu Alecha Yaakov. I mentioned them next week, same time. It will be on Hilchos Tainis and the 3 weeks. Have a wonderful Shabbos and good night. Shabbos.